Let's go ahead and get started. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I'm just requesting God open our hearts tonight, our spiritual understanding, to impart a word to us that will strengthen our faith. Actually act as a foundation for our faith to just be catapulted off of. Amen? Because nothing happens in the kingdom of God without faith. Amen. You don't go anywhere in God's system without learning how to develop faith, how to release faith, and how to stand on faith. Amen. That's why those that don't know who they are in Christ, those that don't know what they have in Christ, those that don't understand how to speak with authority in Christ, won't see any major manifestations in their life. You got to understand how the kingdom of God operates. We understand in Genesis chapter 1, God started using His faith. Amen. We didn't start there, but He was using His faith. And He said, you know, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now, what did He do? He spoke faith-filled words. Scriptures make it clear that God created the heavens, and He holds it all together still by the power of faith. If God was to release His words, if He was to nullify His words, you know how we make mistakes in our confession. We say, oh God, I didn't mean that. I nullify those words. I neutralize that confession, what I just said. How many besides me have done that before? I cancel that confession in Jesus' name. If God ever canceled His confession on let there be light and let there be everything else, we would cease to exist in this form. Amen? All things are held together by the power of the word of faith. So He started speaking words of faith, and He created all these heavens. Everything we see, everything we sense was created by the power of faith in the words God spoke at the beginning. Amen? And for 6 days, He started speaking creation into place. And if we pick it up at the end of Genesis chapter 1, and let's start at verse number 31. And God said, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. What God creates by faith is very good. We have no business pointing our fingers at God and saying, God, what you did here was bad. What God does is very good. The problem is not with God. The problem is with how man exercised his dominion. How he used the words he spoke. Amen? The problems on this earth are based on the rebellion of man against God, not based on what God has done. He saw it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens, chapter 2, and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work which God created and made. Here it says, after 6 days God had finished the work. Amen. And He rested. Amen. God took a break from what He was doing. Why? Because He was tired. I read a children's book one time about creation, and it said after 6 days, God was very tired and He rested. Thinking, dude, what? Guess what? That book is no longer in our bookstore. I ran across it by accident, and or maybe on purpose. Are you following me? I said, I think we'll just throw that one in the trash. God did not have to rest after 6 days of creation. He rested because He was finished. It was done. There was nothing else needed on behalf of man and on behalf of creation that God hadn't already put in place. What we're going to talk about tonight is that God has put in place already everything we need to be victorious in life. We don't have to pray for God to do something else in our life. It's finished. It's done. Amen. Everything Adam needed was already in place after those 6 days. In fact, here's the neat thing. After 5 days, really five and a half, see, man was the last thing God created. The last thing God put in place in creation was man. Therefore, by the time man came on the scene, by the time Adam came on the scene, everything that man needed, everything Adam needed was already in place by his creation. And you can understand that everything that you will need to fulfill your calling, everything that you will need to live a victorious life, everything you'll need to live a prosperous, joy-filled, healthy life is already in place because God puts in position, He puts in place your provision before He ever calls you to that place. It is finished. You follow me? Now what you do with what He provided for you is up to you. Adam was the one that messed up the system. Adam is the one that committed high treason against God. Adam is the one that allowed Satan to come in and usurp the authority of the system. You follow me? But as far as God was concerned, it is finished. In the same fashion, God has already put everything in place you need, but you have to choose. You get to choose who you're going to let run the show in your life. Amen. That being said, let's go over to the book of John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, we have Jesus on the cross. And He's on the cross to pay for all the sin that Adam allowed into the world. He's there to reverse the curse on behalf of mankind. Are y'all with me tonight? Jesus came to pay the price for all that Adam allowed to tamper with creation, to tamper with the purpose of creation. So Jesus on the cross, go over to verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. He now knew on the cross, when He went to that cross, when He was nailed to that cross, He knew everything He had to do to fulfill Scripture was accomplished. He had ran His course. He'd finished His calling. Amen. He had kept the faith, as Paul also said. Verse 29. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to His mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, look at this, it is finished. Everybody say, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He died. The last thing we know of that Jesus said on the cross was, it is finished. What's finished? Everything He needed to do to reverse what Adam allowed in. You follow me? Jesus restored man to the position we could now live above the curse. We could fulfill God callings. We are now positioned according to what Jesus said, that there's nothing lacking in anything we will ever need to be successful, to fulfill God's assignment. It's finished. See, too much of the church is begging God for what they need to fulfill the calling. Oh God, won't You give me? Oh God, won't You provide for me? And God's up there saying, you guys, it's finished. It's done. Why are you looking at me for any more answers? I've given you what you need. All you need now is already inside you through the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, Jesus, when He went to the cross, provided for us to be able to carry the Holy Spirit inside of us. We, as the temple of God, now cleansed by the blood of Jesus, are able to carry the very wisdom and power of Jesus Himself. Amen. It's finished. That means whatever your assignment is from God, whatever role you're playing in life that you're going after, you know, God with, whatever it is that you need provision for, strength for, wisdom for, vision of, it is finished. Tonight I want to create in us the it is finished mindset. Because see, if it doesn't get established within us that it is finished, we will doubt whether or not we'll be successful. Again, the verse God gave me probably nearly 20 years ago, but really 15 is when it really came to life, I would say. As He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, amen, that good work which I've begun in you, I will continue until the day of Christ Jesus. That's putting it in reference to me. That good work which He has begun in you, He will continue until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, God's not going to quit on you if you don't quit on Him. and that calling He's put on your life, if you'll just stay the course, it's going to be fulfilled because it is finished. See, too many Christians quit because they think God's let them down. They think God didn't bring forth, He didn't produce what they needed to stay in their position of fulfilling that calling. Understand when I say calling, I'm talking about more than being a preacher. I'm talking about the calling to be a housewife. Amen. The calling to do whatever job God's assigned you to do. The calling to be a great mother and a great father and a great, marital partner. Whatever you need, it is finished. Well, I just don't have enough time in the day. It is finished. I don't have enough help in my life. It is finished. Well, I need a spouse. It is finished. And you marry the wrong one, you'll be finished. Amen. I spent a long time finding the one I was going to marry because I wanted to choose one, you follow me, that I felt was going to work. And she works. Amen. I let her take off 10 or 15 minutes a day for a break. I waited to find one that I thought, this is a woman that is reliable, dependable, you follow me, that I can go through the rest of my life with. Versus jump, and grab the first one out of desperation. How do we get back on the subject again? It is finished. God's got it. He's got it. We just got to believe Him for the finishing work. Amen. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, amen, that we lay aside every sin and every weight and the sin which so easily beset us and let us... I better turn to there. Hebrews 12. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do you run with patience? When you know it is finished. When you know you're making it to the finish line. Panic is what causes you to run without patience. Fear of lack, fear of running out of time, fear of... Or are you following me? Running out of strength is what makes you panic. Patience is a result of knowing it's finished. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The finisher of faith. And notice ours italicized. He's the finisher of faith. You operate in faith, He'll finish it. You stay in faith that it is finished and He will finish what you're believing Him to finish. Are you following me? Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. It is finished. Recognize there's nothing that you don't have access to. If God's called you into this, He's got the provision. Amen. But fear being the opposite, the polar opposite of faith, fear is the result of not believing it's finished. Fear is a result of not really believing God's made provision for your situation or that you've missed it or missed Him. You've got to recognize that good work which He's begun in you, He will finish until the day of Christ Jesus, right? He'll complete that thing. We serve a finishing God. Romans chapter 5. Are we in agreement that at the beginning of creation, when God put man in the garden, Adam in the garden, that garden was perfect? I mean, man was so connected spiritually, he was clothed with the glory of God. He was more aware of spiritual activity than he was natural. Didn't even know that they were naked, so clothed in the glory of God. Walking with full authority, full power, no fallen nature. Amen. Man didn't have a problem until he started listening to the devil. Well, it says in Romans chapter 5, look at verse 17. And this is kind of... How many know Paul had a way of writing that you go, huh? You read a paragraph and you go, sentence, you go, what? But we're going to break this down tonight so you can understand it clearly. Amen. You ready for this? It helps if you have a Bible to follow along in. And it doesn't have to be the King James. In fact, some of them are probably easier to understand. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, who is the one who committed the original offense? Adam is, didn't he? It says, through Adam's offense, death reigned. Through what one man did. One man's action caused death to reign all the way from 6,000 years ago until now. It says, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now this second part of that verse says that we can receive an abundance of grace. An abundance of grace. Now grace is more than God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's provision to fulfill whatever He's called you to do. Whoever He's called you to be, He's already made. It is finished. He's already made provision for you to do that. See, it's like if I tell you that I want you to, let me try to think of something you can identify with. If I say I need you to make a cake, everybody in here should be able to make a cake with a recipe, right? If you had to. I was going to say build a house, but somebody just turned me off right there. That'd be it. So let's just, something simple, make a cake. And we'll just say it's Duncan Hines to even make it easier. You follow me? So Duncan Hines, you get your two round, 9-inch cake pans. You grease and flour the pans that the recipe so says. You add your two eggs. You add your milk. You beat the mixture. You pour it in a pan at 350 for, 40 minutes. You got your cake. Does that sound right? Must be the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I ain't made a cake in many years. But I got a daughter. Anyway, here you have your recipe. Cake mix, eggs, milk, grease, flour, pan, oven. You follow me? And you follow the recipe, you're going to make those cakes. Well, if I tell you I want you to make some cakes, and I say, and I provided everything you need, then along with me telling you to bake the cakes, I must have given you a recipe. I must have given you an oven. There must be the cake mix, the flour, the eggs, and everything else to go with it, the milk. I must have given you everything you need to finish making those cakes. If I haven't given you the eggs, then I haven't provided you a full package to do what I told you to do. You follow me? And so grace is God's provision to fulfill whatever He's called us to do. So if God assigns you to make a cake, then He gives you the stove, the eggs, the milk, the grease, the pans, everything else. Right? The electricity to plug the stove in with, whatever you need. It's in the grace package. Well, I like to cook with gas. Always going to be somebody to argue, amen? Just in case that was you. Whatever you need is in that grace package. Well, here it says, they which receive abundance of grace. Receiving the abundance of grace is saying, God, I believe it is finished and I receive the full package of everything I need to fulfill what You've called me to do and who You've called me to be. I know it's already in position in that grace package, everything I need to make cakes or be a preacher or evangelize or make $1 million, whatever. I know it's all provided in who You've called me to be and what You've called me to do. You follow me on that. And now all we have to do is get before God, learn to pray, hear from Him, and step into fulfilling, following the recipe for our life He's given to us. Hey, and if you want to get rebellious and say, I really don't want eggs in my cake. I'm going to put vinegar instead of milk, and I'm going to hard boil the eggs before I put them in. You're going to have a mess. It's not going to work. So God gives us the whole package of what we need. We choose how much we're going to follow that flow. But it's in what Jesus provided at the cross. And He says, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now let's talk about the gift of righteousness for just a minute, because that may be the most important ingredient He gives you in your package of grace. The gift of righteousness is where you get saved, you give Jesus Christ your life, and He comes in and He takes out that nature, and He takes out that old fallen nature, and He puts in you the new nature. The nature of God Himself, the nature of righteousness. God goes inside of you and He takes out your your heart of selfishness and He puts in you a heart of love. That is the gift of righteousness. And out of that gift of righteousness is your right standing with God. Out of that gift of righteousness is your ability to go and pray, to go boldly into the throne of grace and say, God, You call me to do these things. I thank You for the provision. I step into it now, right now. I receive of it freely from what You said I can have. You follow me? So the gift of righteousness lets you receive of the bundle, the package of grace. If you don't know that you have been given the gift of righteousness, then you can get saved and still be walking around saying, I don't have that gift of righteousness. I'm still a worm. I'm still unworthy. All my righteousness is still filthy rags. I have no right standing with God. It's only by God's mercy. He's not throwing me into hell right now. I would never be bold before God and say, God, I believe I receive. I always have to go to God crying and whining and pleading for a blessing. Well, guess what? You're not going to receive of the grace package. The grace package works by faith. Faith works by recognizing you've been given the gift of righteousness. Do you see that? He says in verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. See, through Adam's fall, condemnation was released on the earth. Because where the sin nature reigns, condemnation runs rampant. Where men fall short of the glory, amen, where men are trying to live by law, try to live by being good enough, because they have a fallen nature and because all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, you will still walk in a condemned fashion. You'll still walk as if you feel like you're always letting God down. But those who receive the free gift of righteousness are able to walk free of condemnation, free of that weight of always feeling like they're failing God, failing in life, failing in Christianity. And if you feel like that now, if you battle feeling like you're failing God, it's because you've not yet got a hold of the "it is finished" regarding your righteousness. When Jesus said, "it is finished," He meant your right standing with God was finished. It is a done deal. You receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are in right standing with God, and there is nothing you can do to add to that right standing. Amen? There is nothing you can... See, my wife makes great meatloaf. There's nothing you can add to it to make her meatloaf any better, other than hot sauce. And of course, it's always the food perfecter, right? Right, hot sauce. And in God's package of grace, when He said it is finished, there's nothing you can do in God's package of grace that's going to enhance your ability to receive from God at any higher level. It's done. Are y'all with me on this? So, we get to live free of condemnation. Condemnation is the result of not realizing what God did in your life. Amen? Or so rebelling against God that you open the door to it. He says, verse 18 again, therefore is the offense of one, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one. Who's the one it's talking about here? Jesus. It's saying through Adam condemnation came, but through Jesus, look at this, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. A free gift came of justification of life. The word justified means made righteous. It means you were justified. That, you know, the way we always term that is just as if I never sinned. You are justified in Christ. He doesn't look at your sin. He looks at the blood. And it's a free gift and it is finished. There's nothing you can do to enhance the power of the blood. Well, if I could just pray a little more, if I could just read a little more, if I could just, you know, be more consistent in my love walk, you know, God would love me more. No, He won't. You might step into more of the power of God. You follow me? Because you'll be able to receive of more of the grace package, but there's nothing you can do to make yourself more righteous before God than Jesus already provided for. So everything Adam lost, Jesus restored. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Not just many, all but Jesus. You follow me? all since Adam that were born of women, women are born into sin. Right? Through Adam's fall, all men were born into sin. Many were made sinners. So as by the obedience of one, Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Many. God has in mind to bring a harvest out of this earth. Many, not just a few, not just a little remnant. God wants to bring a harvest out of this earth. Amen. I believe He's bringing a revival in these last days that He's going to save the vast majority of the people left on the earth. I believe the glory is coming in such a concentration you're just going to have to hate God to resist getting saved. Amen. And I want to be right in the middle of that train. How about you? In fact, I want to be driving it. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Let me explain that just for a second. The law entered that the offense might abound. God instituted the law through Moses. Remember the Mosaic law? And the law was not written so it would increase the amount of sin. As you read this in the King James, it could sound like the law entered so there could be more sin. But the Word of God makes it clear that the law was perfect. And what the law does is it exposes sin. It doesn't produce sin, it exposes sin. So the law entered that sin could be exposed. Did you follow me on that? The law entered to expose sin. I want you to remember this. Everybody say expose sin. Expose. The law entered to expose sin. But look at this. But where sin abounded, sin was exposed. We were knowledgeable and aware of sin. Grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. That word abound there, much more abound. You see where it says did much more abound? That is one word in the Greek. Now I will probably mess up the pronunciation. But for me to pronounce it as a redneck, you know, who went to public school when they really taught you something, so I did have phonics. Amen. I really do try to type stuff correctly spelled on Facebook. Amen. I even try to put in, you know, punctuation where necessary. I refuse to regress just because it's, you know, Facebook. The word did much more abound is the word hooperperizio. Hooperperizio. Hooper is where we get the word hyper, meaning above, greatly above. And perizio means to abound, to be over. So what he did is Paul wrote here two words compounded together that he says it's much more, greater, beyond, way above. In fact, that word there's only used a few times in Scripture, and it means way beyond the level of the predecessor. So he said, where the law abounded unto condemnation, grace did much more exceed what brought us into condemnation. So where sin and condemnation abounded, through righteousness revelation, through the gift of righteousness, we have grace to live above condemnation. Because it is finished. We've got provision made that everything that sin brought us into, everything that the law exposed to us regarding failure and letting God down and falling short of the glory, because that's what the law did. The grace of the love of God, the revelation of the gift of righteousness, brings us to a place of recognizing I am loved of the Father, I am loved of the Son, I'm inhabited by the Holy Ghost, I have everything I need to fulfill my calling. Are you following me? And I'm no longer a sinner, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I lack nothing to fulfill a high calling. Because it is finished. Where sin did abound, grace did exceeding above, beyond, abound. See, we have so much power, provision given to us to walk above sin and to walk above condemnation that it makes what sin tried to do in our life as nothing. See, we tend to look at our life before, okay, here's where we were before with sin and condemnation in our life, but Jesus came to deliver us from sin, and we're a little bit above that. You know, now we can walk sin-free and battle this condemnation. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, if here's your old life battling sin and condemnation, here's where you are now in Jesus Christ. There is no comparison between the two packages, between the two covenants. You now have a right to live way beyond anything you ever knew in the past. And see, most of us have come in contact with this because when I got saved, nobody told me about righteousness. They just kept reminding me about sin. My first 10 years as a Christian, I walked in extreme condemnation. Always letting God down, never praying enough, never reading enough. Always falling short of the glory. Really, my first 11 or 12 years, probably 12 years, I walked in a lot of condemnation. Going after God with all my heart. Not sinning, you know, anything major. Faithful man. Serving the church, seeking God with all my heart. But, you know, it was like still being in college. You just never studied enough. There was always another test around the corner that you didn't know if you were ready for. And so once I found out about righteousness, it took me to a whole other level of walking in the power and love of God. Because I recognized grace and the gift of righteousness far exceeds the old system I was walking in. Even as a saved Christian, I was still walking under that law. Because that's what they were preaching to me many, many times. When I first got saved, they were preaching to me, have you done this? How many people did you lead to Jesus today? Amen? Have you lost your temper in the last 6 months? Are you following me? I was always grading myself against Jesus. And how many know you're going to fail that test every time? God never charged us to grade us against Jesus. He said be elevated to His status. The blood will make up the difference. Amen. Choose to walk in love. The blood will make up the difference. Walk condemnation and fear free. You can't walk in faith with all that condemnation and fear. Look at verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As sin reigned unto death, sin mentality keeps you in the death system. Amen? And when you're in the death system, you live under the pressure of the fear of death, of the fear of failure, of the fear of nothing really producing genuine life. And you live a miserable Christian life. When you're under that fear canopy, you know, you fall into the category of being a sourpuss Christian. You know, the Christians always look like they've been sucking lemons all day. Critically minded, always grading everybody else against the law that they've established. That's what happens to people that don't come out from under the burden of the law. Even though they're saved. Even though they've been in church all their life, if they've never been taught about the gift of righteousness, they will walk with a non-it is finished mentality. And they're always trying to finish everybody else, including themselves. Amen. And not only are they falling short of the glory, but so is everybody else. How can you walk in love, the love of God, if you think everybody else is a failure? You have to develop the it is finished mentality. Now back up a verse and look at verse 20 again, because I love this verse. One of my favorite verses in Scripture. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Get in your understanding that grace, the package of grace, the it is finished package God gave you, far exceeds the old system the fallen man was in. So why would we depend upon the old man to meet all of our needs today? Why would we depend on the old man to fulfill all of our calling today? We got to get into the grace package, the it is finished package, because your own strength has a limit. Your own wisdom, there's an end to your own wisdom. We have to get over into God. I sow the seed. I trust you. Amen. I put my hand to the plow as best I know, but I trust you to provide what I need. And step into it is finished. Amen. See, I don't think it's an accident that the end of the 6 days, God said, I finished the work. Time to rest. And the very last thing Jesus said on a cross is, it is finished. I finished the work I was assigned to do. God ended both systems, reestablished with it is completed. It is finished. It is done. And guess what? That means it's done in your life. Because if it was done for Adam, and the grace that God birthed in us is greater than anything Adam walked in, it is finished for us. You have everything you need to be a success, to fulfill the call. You just got to rejoice your way into it. We have to praise God till we see the heavens kiss the earth. Amen? Well, I've tried all this. It hadn't worked for me. Anytime you whine and cry, I whine and cry anytime, you follow me? We've lost the it is finished mentality. Amen? We still think there's something we got to do. It's done. Now just pray, believe you receive, and march on, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have all we need to live blessed lives already. Don't need to ask God for any more of it. It's done. All the healing you need, all the prosperity you need, all the joy, peace, it's done. Right? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And it has happened again. I started something I would teach in one session, and I now have a four-part series. I can see it already. Hebrews chapter 4. You're just blessed. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. A promise left us of entering into His rest. Now wait a minute. Entering into His rest. When did He rest? On the seventh day. He started resting 6,000 years ago. It was finished as far as God was concerned 6,000 years ago. So we have to step into His rest, which is the it is finished rest. Oh, glory to God. I felt something there. His rest is the it is finished rest. See, as long as you think it's not finished, you're not going to rest. You got to get into it is done. Everything I need. My life will fulfill its high calling because it is already provided for, it is finished, and I will not fall short of stepping into what God's made available. Amen. Entering into His rest. And understand, you fail to step in the promise means you're still walking in the not it is finished mentality. You're still walking in the old system. You're still walking in the fallen Adamic system. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you don't learn how to develop and use faith, you will stay in the unrest system. It says in the Old Testament, they didn't learn the it is finished message. They didn't learn how to access the promises by faith. They didn't learn how to trust God with their future. They're always in fear of it not being done. They're always in fear of God not providing. Always murmuring against Moses with regard to these things. So because they didn't have the it is finished mentality, amen, they stayed in fear, stayed into this system, so much so that almost all of Israel had to die out in the wilderness. Because of their unbelief, they didn't have the faith to go in and possess the promised land, as God has said. When God said go in and possess the land, as far as He was concerned, it was finished. But yet, only two Israelites had the faith to recognize it was finished. Everybody else had to die out for 40 years. All of the adults. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. We which have believed do enter into rest. Have believed what? It is finished. Y'all catching this tonight? That have believed it's finished. It's done. We're not concerned that God's going to, you know, fail us. I remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, somewhere in there, this message came out that God is dead. some of you may not be old enough to remember that, but there was this whole move. I mean, it went across the United States, this message, God is dead. He's left us. He was, you know, He birthed us, but now He's died. And I didn't know God. And I wondered, is God dead? Did God die? You know, He started it, but now all of a sudden He's dead and we have no hope. What if we die and He's gone? There's no heaven to go to. You know, what? If God died, we wouldn't be here because He's holding everything together by the word of His faith. If He's gone, we're gone. Amen. So we which have believed do enter into rest, that it is finished. Right? As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake, look at verse 4, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Did you see that? He rested the seventh day from all of His works. Why? He was done. So for us to enter into that mentality that God had, we got to have the "it is finished" mentality. But guess what? It's not based on what we've done. It's based on what He did. But we have to connect to it by our faith and say, God, I recognize it's all provided for me. I just trust You. I trust You with every part of it. I get my faith connected to Your Word and Your promises. Amen? And I refuse to leave a single promise behind because everything I need. See, what's finished? The package of everything you need to live a blessed life is finished. Your peace is in that package. Your patience is in the package. Your deliverance is in the package. Your love and joy are in the package. Your finances, your health, your family, it's all in the package. You got to recognize it is finished. Well, what if my kids don't get saved? It's finished. There's promises all through the Word about your kids. Well, you don't understand. My kids are out there serving the world. The Word says, Isaiah 49, even if your children make a lawful pact with the devil, He will save your children. It's finished. Now believe it, stand on it until God delivers your kids. Because it's a done deal as far as He's concerned. But see, if you keep whining and crying and fearing over the kids, you're not believing for the finished work, and the power of God, the grace of God, is not able to hit your kids. Speak the Word. But back up, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although, look at this, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? Everything. It's finished. Everything you need. How many know God had already made provision for Jesus at the beginning? If you study out the names, is it the first 14 names in the Bible spell out the entire gospel? If you look up Adam, the word Adam means man. And if you look up the names of the first 14, I believe it is, names in the Bible of the lineage from Adam through to Noah, it spells out, I don't remember the exact wording, man fallen, needing a deliverer, God sent Himself. Something like that, if you've ever seen that before. God had it planned out from the beginning. He knew Adam was going to fall. He knew He would have to send Him, you know, His Son as a Savior. It was all provided for. It is finished. When Jesus at the cross said, "It is finished," all He was saying is He was repeating what God has said. I finished what He finished 4,000 years earlier. Oh, hallelujah. This may percolate with you for a few days. You'll wake up tonight about, I don't want to prophesy, about 2:30 and go, "Oh, I get it now. Yes, finished. Praise God." The works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? Everything you need to complete the call. Everything you need to live the life of God, the Zoe life. In fact, the word life there, it keeps repeating, is the word Zoe. that we read earlier in Romans chapter 5. The very life of God, the blessing of God on your life, is all provided for through Jesus. Amen? Can we take it further? Go to Exodus chapter 17. We'll kind of change gears here just a little bit. I'm enjoying this tonight. Exodus chapter 17. And let's look at verse number 1. Now here we have Israel. They've just been delivered from Egypt. How many know that was a supernatural deliverance? 430 years of captivity under harsh servitude. Amen? Making bricks with no straw, being bitten, eaten garlic, leeks, and onions. My wife won't eat the same food twice in a row. She'll eat the same breakfast every morning for 20 straight years, but it can't be twice in a row. I guess breakfast doesn't count. Honey Nut Cheerios. I can open the pantry door and there's 5 boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios stacked in a row. Or Honey Bunches of Oats. Or what? Honey Nut Cheerios are at night. I got you. Honey Bunches of Oats. Every once in a while she'll throw me for a loop and it'll be like Cinnamon Honey Bunches of Oats or something like that. Or with almonds or whatever. Whoa, big shift. But she's not going to eat onions, leeks, and garlics every day. Are you following me? Not without somebody cracking a whip over her head. So we know that Israel must have been under a harsh servitude. And God sends Moses, a type of Jesus, a type of deliverer, to deliver Israel out of that bondage, right? How many know when they came out there wasn't a broke or a feeble one among them, the Scriptures declare. He healed 2 million people. All the sick and injured of 2 million people instantly at the Passover. A type of the cross. Praise the Lord. I feel like we could preach 14 directions right now. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. They're out in the wilderness. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. And that sin there is a city or an area. It's not sin, you know, like falling short of the glory. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, they're following the direction of God. And pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Oh my goodness. Moses has led us out here to die. Now understand, it says they followed God. Do you see that? After the commandment of the Lord, they're following the direction of God. And understand, God, because He's always making mistakes, and He's forgetting things, and you know, He just hadn't had everything included in our travel package, you know. Bags don't fly free with God. You know, whatever it might be. They get out there and all of a sudden God took them someplace. There's no water. And God's going, I forgot all about it. Nothing I can do now. But I let them there. Hey, they're on their own. I mean, that's not how it works. It is finished. If God leads you somewhere, whether there's water or not, He's going to provide what you need. But look what they do because they're not in faith. They don't have the "it is finished" mentality. Wherefore the people did chide. In other words, they came against Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Do you see that? First of all, as we follow God, there will be places in your life that you're going to be facing some obstacles. Don't come crying to me about your obstacle. You brought me out here, now pay my rent. No, we're following God together. Now you get in faith, sow a seed, and trust God for your rent. Now understand, I'm on to helping people. You know, we help people all the time. But I'm to the point people calling the church asking for money, which is about 3 times a day now at least. All the time, I'm ready to start saying, how faithful have you been with the tithe? What seed have you been sowing lately? Then why am I going to give into your God thievery? Haven't gone there yet, but I'm very close. Amen. Might as well teach with the operator. They're going to call me. They might as well get taught when they call. Amen. And I'll do it all in love. So they start harassing Moses, giving him a hard time. I thought faith worked. I thought God was faithful. How come I don't have my place? How come I don't have my car? How come I don't have my money? How come I don't have my husband, my wife? I guess in your case, it's not finished. That's got to be my answer. God must have made a mistake in your life. He didn't have provision for you. Because I know your faith is perfect and God would never let you down. Must be my fault. I've taught you the wrong messages. We should have had you whining and crying up at the altar saying, God, please, please, won't you, you know, buy me a Mercedes-Benz. My friends all drive Lincolns. I must make amends. That's an old Janis Joplin song for those that don't know. Amen. Verse 4. They're going, who's Janis Joplin? Praise God. Verse 4. Let's move on. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do for this people, unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. I know that feeling. You know, I get some of each. I want to give the church credit. You guys are very good about coming and saying, Pastor Jack, I so appreciate your teaching. I so appreciate what you're imparting into my life. You follow me? Because if not for those, you'd be ready to quit. Because you hear the good, but you hear everybody that's not doing it. Can I meet with you? Your teachings don't work. You haven't been to church 3 times in the last 4 months. So Moses said, they're ready to stone me. Pastoring is so much fun, I'm telling you, glory to God. It is finished. Keep telling myself that. Verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? They question God's it is finished package. Now here's what God told Moses to do. He said, there's a rock in Horeb. I'm going to show it to you. When you get to that rock, take your rod and strike the rock. When you strike the rock, water's going to flow out of the rock. Did you know, I've heard that they have found that rock, that there's a rock out in the wilderness that has a hole in it with all these erosion marks come off of it, like a river flowed out of that rock. Heard that for years. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. However, I believe that rock's out there. Water flowed out of this rock. And this rock, in fact, hold this spot, but don't hold it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed under the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Here, Paul says that the cloud and the Red Sea were types of baptism into Christ. You follow me? They represented a crossing over from one life into the other, a type of salvation and baptism. Amen. Under the cloud means you were under the covering of God. And you knew how to stay under that covering. He goes on and he says, and did all eat that same spiritual meat. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 6, that he was the spiritual meat. He was the manna that came down from heaven. That's where he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. He said, my words are bread indeed. You follow me? My flesh and my words, they're bread indeed. He was talking about the Word of God being what we eat. And he is the Word made flesh. Right? So that's our spiritual meat. The meat that God brought was a type of spiritual bringing to us spiritual sustenance. But then in verse 4, and did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Talking about the rock that the river flowed out of. You follow me on that? That rock that a river flowed out of that brought life was a type of us drinking from Christ. Drinking from the Word of God. Drinking from the rivers of living water. Amen. So that rock was a type of Christ. And when Moses struck the rock, it was a type of Jesus being crucified. Did you follow that? Most of you are probably already aware of that. But that rock being struck with the rod was a type of Jesus being put on the cross. Amen? And when Jesus was hung on the cross, out of another realm, out of an invisible realm, a river of life was released into the earth that whoever drinks of that river will never thirst again. Are you catching this? Jesus was the rock. And you know what's interesting to me? Look at the bottom of verse 4 there. And it says, that rock followed them. See, Jesus had Israel traveling through the wilderness for 40 years. There were no rivers in the wilderness. You follow me? But wherever they went, that rock followed. How would you like to... I mean, would that not be a witness? You get up one day and there's a rock that wasn't there the day before. Big old rock with a hole in it. Isn't that the rock we saw 10 miles back? Yeah, it followed us all the way here. God had this rock follow them. A couple angels. My goodness, this thing's getting heavy. Amen. Gabriel come along going, hey, I got this, boys. I guess Mike will be the strong one, right? A rock followed them, which was a type of Christ. Jesus will bring the rivers of living water to you wherever you go. You follow me? As long as you're not in rebellion against what He's doing and you're attempting to fulfill that call, He's going to have your provision. See, that's all part of the "it is finished." Everything you need for life and blessing is going to follow you. Water to water your livestock. Amen. Potentially, I don't know if they grew crops or not, but whatever they needed was right there. Back to Numbers. I'm going to start to close this out for tonight. Numbers chapter 20. Anytime if you're ever called to pastor, study Moses. You'll know what you're getting yourself into. It is finished. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin. In the first month, and now this is years later. You follow me? In the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there, his sister, and was buried there, Moses' sister. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Here we go again. Amen. Moses is going, this seems familiar. And the people chided with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. You'd think they'd get a hold of it that God's going to provide. But after probably a couple days or 3 days or 4 days of no water, you know, showing up, and their canteens are getting low, they're probably going, God has let us down again. They lack the "it is finished" mentality. They really don't believe God's going to see them all the way through. Do you see that God's going to bring you all the way through? Do you see that that good work which He begun in you will continue till the day of Christ? That there's nothing left out of His "it is finished" grace package? It says, verse 4, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Probably because you were in Egypt hollering about how you're tired of being beaten, being overworked, and eating nothing but onions. I like onions, but, you know, there comes a time where you want to kiss your wife, and garlic and onions just don't going to help the situation whatsoever. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. They're complaining about everything they didn't have. Let me ask you a question. In Egypt, how many figs and vines and pomegranates did they have? They didn't have any of that. They never said, let us go back to the figs and vines and pomegranates in Egypt. They said, let's go back to garlic, onions, and leeks. Amen? But too many Christians live in fantasy land. Amen? They have some false image about how life used to be before they were with God in a revival. Amen? So when it's tough in revival, they start reflecting back on how great it was back in the old life, and it wasn't so great. Amen. It's great now that you're in revival. And guess what? There are pomegranates, vines, and figs in revival. You just have to believe it is finished and receive them. Sow a seed and watch them come into your life. Amen. Get over into faith instead of unbelief and doubting. Verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Oh, we're gonna touch on something right here. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. You want to know when the glory of the Lord comes on a pastor? When he's getting persecuted sometimes. I'm talking about when the pressure's coming and all the challenges are there, and the pastor goes, say, God, I got to get with you right now. Hey, you can either run away from God or run towards God. So you go and say, God, you said it's finished. I receive of you right now. I need peace right now. I need blessing. I need love. I need patience with this people right now. Of course, Jesus wasn't around yet. Well, he was around, but hadn't manifested himself as the Savior. You start calling on God, and it says the glory of the Lord came in on them. The glory showed up. When you're under your greatest stress and pressure, if you'll go towards God, that's when the glory comes. You know, we preached Sunday night about coming to that place where there's a confrontation between spirit and flesh, and this flesh doesn't want to go any further, doesn't want to stretch any further, doesn't want to pray any longer, get in the Word anymore. And the Spirit's got to say, no, we're going to thrust into new places. We're going to go into new realms and just plow right over the flesh. When you do that, you step into higher levels of glory. So when you're under the stress and the pressure, and the flesh just wants to cry and whine and lay down and sleep and eat and drink and drugs and everything else, you follow me? Whatever it is you do to escape, shop. And you say, no, I'm not going there anymore. I'm going towards God. Guess what? You will step into a new place, to a higher level of glory. Did you catch that? But that's not the end of the story. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'm talking about when the glory shows up, God's going to speak to you. Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, look at this, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. God now tells them, remember the first time, what did he do to get water the first time? He struck the rock. But now God says, take your rod, but don't hit the rock. Speak. See, the rock being a type of Christ, Christ only had to be hung on the cross one time. From then on, once he's went to the cross, now we just speak into the it is finished provision. See, when he went to the cross, he said it is finished. Now he wants us to speak. Doesn't have to be crucified again. Nobody's got to be crucified again. Nobody's got to suffer anymore. Just speak the it is finished provision into manifestation. So straight out of the glory, God tells him, just go speak to the rock. Now you've got authority. But see, Moses has never operated in this realm before. Everything he's always done in the past has been by using that rod. Stretching the rod out over the Red Sea. Striking the rock. Holding the rod up during the battle with the Amalekites. Which was back in Exodus right after what we just studied. Everything was to do with using that rod. He was used to using the rod. Operating under that law system. But God says now that toward the end of Moses' ministry, they're getting ready soon to go into the promised land. God says, you've entered into a new realm. Now just speak to the rock. You're now in the it is finished system ever since you hit that thing. You follow me? Now he's getting this revelation. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, and look what Moses did, he misses it. Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Wait, Moses. That wasn't in God's instructions. He didn't say to accuse the people. And nowhere did he say, you got to fetch the water. All of a sudden, Moses, still in that legal system, that law system, he's saying, now we got to do something in this situation. We got to fetch the water out of the rock. He's getting into a self-righteous mentality that it's of himself. It says, and Moses, verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. He used the rod again on the rock. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. See, God didn't penalize the people for Moses' error here. Well, Moses, you blew it. Now I got to kill all the people. Amen. The water still came, but Moses didn't do it according to God's instruction. He broke a typology. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. He says, you're not going into the promised land because you didn't do it how I said to do it. You broke a typology. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and He was sanctified in them. God takes His typology serious. You follow me? He takes them seriously. This word is an example of the Savior to come. And because Moses broke one of these typologies, he couldn't go into the promised land. Amen. He let temper take him into the I will provide system versus God has already provided, it is finished. And we got to guard ourselves about letting ourselves being drugged into the I will provide system and stay in the God will provide mentality, or God has provided mentality. And stay under the revelation of it is finished. Amen? When you get the it is finished mentality, you will walk like you are right with God without condemnation. When you get the it is finished mentality, you will never fear your provision again. Well, I just think we're going broke. I just think everything we've done is not producing. Oh, my goodness, you know, our checkbook's in the red and all these bills are screaming. It is finished. Sow the seed, speak the word. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. What about my kids? What about my family? What about my health? It is finished. I personally believe there's not an area of physical need in your body. Zero. No matter how debilitating it can appear, that when you get a hold of faith and you stand and you really know how to stand, that God can't reverse. Can I take this a step further? This just dropped in me. Dave Hunter. Some of you have met Dave Hunter before. He was Norville Hayes, in charge of Norville Hayes Soup Kitchen. Probably the most powerful evangelistic anointing I've ever seen. Everywhere we would go with Dave Hunter, every restaurant, he'd lead the waitresses to the Lord. Be praying with them. They'd be crying, the anointing on him. And he came and ministered at our churches several times. Dave was in a head-on accident, hit by a drunk years ago. And you guys have heard the story. He was killed instantly. His aorta was separated from his heart. His wife came around after she took care of her two kids real quick. She went around and commanded Dave to live and not die. She's not leaving her alone with those two kids. Jerked him up, threw him against the van, and David goes, and life was back in him. They got him to the hospital, opened him up. I mean, he was in the driver's seat. His legs were smashed, everything, you know. Got him to the hospital. His aorta was 4 inches from his heart separated. And a blood clot had formed a tube between his heart and his aorta. Totally a miracle thing. And was still pumping blood through his system. When she said, you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's the word she spoke. God formed that tube and breathed life back into him. They had to reconnect his aorta. Amen. He's healed. The only problem is he's got one leg with no kneecap. I think it was his left leg. And he would walk, and when we walk, his leg would flip clear out. Way out front, if y'all remember Dave Hunter. It would just do this. In fact, he thought he was never going to be able to walk again, and God told his wife he can walk. She made him get up and walk. said, I'm not getting you another thing in this house. You can get it. God says you can walk yourself. Now get up. He was driving her up the wall with all this honey, will you get me? And but he had this situation with the kneecap. Well, he confessed for several years. God had totally restored his body. And I heard recently that he got that kneecap. Pastor Lee saw him last year and said, God totally restored that leg, put the kneecap back in it. Glory be to God. There's nothing God can't redo. Just stay the course, believe Him, build your faith and trust Him. It is finished. I heard of a man, who was it, was telling me that story. It's been several years ago. His child was born as a mongoloid child. And horribly mongoloid. And he says, no, I don't receive this. And started confessing God would restore his kid, his child. And his child, before their eyes, over a matter of days or weeks, started changing his features and everything reformed. And by the time he was a few years old, he was totally recovered, restored from that condition. Speaking the word, believing God. It is finished. It's finished. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. This has blessed me tonight. I don't know about you, but it's blessed me. Praise you, Jesus. It's finished. We're going into the glory. Don't get off track. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you seal it in our hearts, minds, and understanding. You cause us to rise up and fulfill everything you've called us to do and all you've called us to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.